Today on More to Life, I'm so frustrated. Fed up with a particular problem or person? Not sure what to do about it? Let us help you find grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, I'm so frustrated. Not me personally. That's the title of the show. I'm so frustrated. We're talking about, frustration. If you are feeling fed up with a particular problem you've been wrestling with, or person that you're tired of dealing with, and you're not quite sure what to do about it, you've come to the right place. Let us help you find some grace-filled solutions for those frustrating problems and people you have to deal with every day. 877-573-7825.
Or maybe you are anticipating frustration as we go into the holiday season, the end of the year, all the additional expectations, all the people we have to see, all the balancing we have to do. Perhaps you're looking down the road a bit and thinking of all the things that may end up, or you're thinking in your mind will end up, aggravating, frustrating, and annoying you. And then you just push it aside. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. You just push it aside. No, let's not do that. Let's look at that anticipation, that gnawing sense or voice in your gut. And instead of ignoring it, let's talk about what we can do to alleviate it, to armor you against it, to let you be your most grace-filled self, connected to God and the Holy Spirit, no matter what that situation or person does in your life. That can really work if you take the time to look at it now, instead of just pushing it aside and keep writing your grocery list and your present list and all your to-do list. Let's really take that time to make sure that you are feeling peace in the Holy Spirit, peace within yourself, instead of all that aggravation and frustration, whether you're feeling it now or it's coming at you even more in the days to come. Let's help you with that today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And look, whether, you know, it's a long-standing frustration or a more recent one, the fact is, you know, we're always frustrated about something, right? I mean, life is just filled with frustrations.
Well, yeah, and we're living in a fallen world, but we're made to be in the image and likeness of God, and those two things often rub against each other in a way that makes us feel frustrated.
But the good news is, you know, that frustration, how do I put this? It shouldn't be wasted. And we'll talk about this in a minute. You know, that there is a godly person, godly purpose. Yeah, that's the word. Godly purpose behind that feeling of frustration. And we're going to unpack that in just a minute when we talk about our theology of the body reflection. But, you know, we want to help you really get a better sense of how to respond to that feeling and not just think that this is just the way it has to be, because it doesn't have to be. I think that one of the responses to frustration is we just tend to settle and say, well, I guess I just have to put up with it. Well, what if you didn't? You know, what if there were ways to respond to that challenge differently that could produce some results? What if there were ways to respond to that person differently that could actually transform that relationship or insulate you from the drama that person brings into your life? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. 7825. Let us help you find grace-filled solutions to those frustrating people and problems you have to deal with.
Well, you know, Greg, you mentioned just settling, but I think those of us who are doing our best to walk the Christian walk will often not think of it as settling. Instead, we'll say, well, I'm just going to offer that up. But we only kind of do it halfway because we don't really know what that means, and so we just say, all right, God, I'm giving it to you. And then we let ourselves stew in the back of our minds. Or we say, well, it's just my cross to bear. But that just means, as you were saying, settling for staying in that frustration instead of connecting with what God's trying to do in that situation.
That's right. So let's talk about that. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. Now, you might be wondering, well, what is that, and how could it possibly help me be less frustrated? Well, good question, and I'm glad you asked, because St. John Paul gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation.
The Theology of the Body reminds us that God created all the structures of our body, including our emotions, to work for our good and the good of others. There is actually a godly intention and a godly call hiding right below the surface of every emotion we have. But what could possibly be the godly purpose of frustration and annoyance? When we feel frustrated or annoyed, it can be helpful to see it as a sign that the Holy Spirit is tugging on our sleeve and saying, hey, let's take a minute and talk about this, and let me help you make a plan.
You know, the antidote to frustration and annoyance is patience. But it's important that we get that right? Because a lot of people really misunderstand what patience is. We think that patience is a passive virtue. It's the quality that demands that we just sort of suck it up and wait around for God to do something, you know. But that's really not what patience is. In fact, St. John Chrysostom referred to this passive approach to patience as, quote, unreasonable patience. And he said that was, quote, the hotbed of many vices because it fosters negligence and incites not only the wicked but the good to do wrong. Patience is actually an active virtue. It gives us the power to step back, see the effect that our efforts are having, or not, and make a plan to move forward. You know, patience is the virtue that stops us from doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. It's the virtue that allows us to step back and assess what we've done, what progress has been made, and then gather our resources and supports so we can be more effective through God's grace moving forward. So let's talk about that. Let's create that space in this hour to step back from those things that are frustrating you and look at it with fresh, grace-filled eyes so that you can see the solution that God has in his heart for you. 877-573-7825. Are you feeling frustrated with a particular problem or person you're dealing with? Are the steps you've taken to try to address those challenges not paying off the way you wish they would? Maybe you feel a little stuck or confused about what to do next. Let us help you find those grace-filled solutions to the frustrating people and problems in your life. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those frustrating problems and people in our life, those situations and individuals that tend to get under our skin and cause us to feel just fed up and tired of having to deal with it. You know, in this fallen world, there are so many frustrations that we have to contend with. It can just seem like the only thing we can do is throw our hands up in the air and settle. But you remind us that that is not your call for us, that you call us to lead abundant lives and to respond in graceful ways to those challenges that frustrate us. So we give those people and those problems to you, and we ask you to teach us step by step how to respond to those situations in ways that bring out the best in us, that challenge the people around us to be their best as well, and help us to glorify you in our response, so that in every situation that frustrates us today, through your grace, those situations can be transformed into moments that reveal your glory. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, I'm so frustrated. That's the title of the show. We're talking about those particular problems or people that do frustrate us. How can we respond to that in a healthy, grace-filled way? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Susan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ann Arbor on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
So, my mother is basically on her deathbed, and I have relatives who are more concerned about the inheritance and all these other things, and a lot of their aggression and sort of meanness is being directed at me. And I have.
Can you give us an example, Susan? Like, what would be a situation that you have to deal with that if we could help you handle better, that you'd feel like you got what you were looking for from the call?
Well, when I went to see my mother, they allowed me to do that, but then it was all of a sudden like, you're going to have to answer to all of this and where's the money? And I'm like,
Are you the executor or something? Like, what's your authority here? Why are they coming to you about this?
I'm not the executor anymore. I gave up the executorship.
So why do you have to answer for anything?
Well, apparently they just think that I didn't do things right, and I'm like, okay,
So is there a new executor of the will?
Yeah, I brought
okay.
it.
Okay.
Okay. So,
all right. So your question then is, how do you deal with the relatives who are just kind of attacking you for the decisions that you made when you were primarily responsible for your mother's care, and how to handle it moving forward? Is that what you're asking us?
Yes.
Okay. I'm really sorry. I'm very sorry for your mom's suffering and for everything that your family is going through. I'm sorry for the pain that your family is inflicting on you in this very difficult time. That's the last thing that anybody needs whenever they're mourning the loss of somebody they care about.
They're anticipating that loss and going through that time of bereavement. And I have to say that we have seen this over and over and over again, both personally in our own lives, but also with the people we talk to on the show, our clients, who really see that grief is such a complicated thing, and even anticipated grief is such a complicated thing, and people are not comfortable with it, and it seems to often push them in the direction of animosity, argumentativeness, accusations, anything to keep them from really looking at the fact that they're anticipating or feeling a sense of grief.
Yeah, and it's easier to be angry than it is to be sad, right? And so people who aren't comfortable with sadness will often express that by being angry. And I know that doesn't really help you because you're the focus of that anger, but it can sometimes help to keep that in the back of your mind and recognize that person who's taking it out on you is really grieving and not sure how to deal with it. And in fact, you can reframe that for them. So for instance, let's say they attack you. They say something mean about the decisions that you made about your mom's care or the inheritance or whatever it is, the things that you were describing. You can say to them, listen, I know that you're sad and we're all sad about this, but I'm not your enemy. And I really don't appreciate you treating me like one. So if you have questions about the will, there's a new executor, go talk to him. Go talk to my brother. But anything else, we're all grieving. And I'd really like to focus on being here for mom right now. and you just redirect it. And you know, I'm going to say this too, and people, when I say this, they like look at me like I'm crazy, but it's like, you can't take this personally. And you say, well, why can't I take it personally? It's directed at me personally. Like, how else am I supposed to take this?
Not only is it directed at me personally, but I'm the one who's grieving, so I'm sensitive about this, and how dare they? And we take it very personally.
Well, the reason I'm saying that, all right, is that the people who are behaving this way would behave this way with anybody. They're you know, when our emotional temperature goes up, right, we just sort of react out of that emotional brain, and we would treat, you know, our brother, our mother, a lamppost, or the dog the same way. We just get angry and we lash out. And so when your relatives are saying these things to you, it's important to really appreciate that this is coming from that emotional brain, not from the logical place. And what they're really saying is, I'm hurt and I'm angry and I don't know what to do about it. And so if you can dig a little deeper and just offer up a quick prayer and take a deep breath and respond with empathy and compassion, but firmness as well, in the way that I was just describing, where you say to them, look, we're all grieving right now. So let's say, you know, Susan, you're a dumb, dumb head and I hate you, right? I mean, that's ridiculous. But if they say something mean, right, let's do that as a placeholder.
Yeah.
It's, you don't respond to what they say. You respond to the feeling behind it, the feeling of sadness behind it, and you empathize with that. It's like, look, I get that we're all hurting, that we're all sad, that we're all angry, and I'm sorry that you're feeling that way. I'm not your enemy. I would like to find a way to get through this together and be here for Mom. If you have questions about the will or any decisions moving forward, talk to my brother. He's the executor now. But I'm not your enemy, and I really prefer us not to treat each other that way. You just be very compassionate, empathetic, and firm about it, and you just use the broken record technique where you do not respond to the content of anything they say. You just memorize what I just told you to say, and you say it over and over and over and over again. And that's the only way you're going to get through this, because if you say anything else, they're going to latch on to it, because it's easier to be angry than it is to be sad. And the more you try to defend yourself or explain things or respond to their attacks, the more you're going to make yourself the focus of the anger.
And I just want to take one more second here for everyone who's listening. You know, we talk about that it's easier to be angry than sad, but grief is so complicated because it's sadness, but it's a lot of fear. I'm losing this person. What's going to happen to me? All of these things elevate our emotional temperature so high, and it reads in our brains as though we're being attacked. And we feel attacked when we're losing someone we care about. And so we immediately begin to attack others. And I've seen time and time again families destroyed by the grief process turning into them turning on each other. And this broken record technique, this call to respect that Greg is talking about here, can help anyone who's going through this kind of situation.
So for now, make your daily prayer, Lord, help me respond to this with compassion, with firmness, help me to not take this personally, and help me to remind everybody that we need to get through this as much together as we possibly can. Susan, thank you so much for the call. We've added you and your family to our more, and your mom especially, to our More to Life prayer list. If there's more we can do to support you as you're going through this, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. And we're taking your calls, listeners, today on our show titled, I'm So Frustrated. Are you feeling fed up with a particular person or problem that you have to contend with? Not sure what to do about it? Feeling like the efforts that you've expended to try to address it aren't paying off the way you wish they would? Well, let's help you find grace-filled solutions. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She'll be sharing some insights on how we can cultivate resilience in the face of our frustrations. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, I'm so frustrated. We're talking about those times when we just feel fed up with that person or that problem that we have to deal with and just don't want to. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in the psychology of success and directs our success and performance coaching practice at CatholicCounselors.com. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Great being here.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what contributes to our sense of frustration, and more importantly, how can we cultivate resilience in the face of it, and what does that mean?
Well, we tend to really get, you know, bogged down by a challenging day or ongoing problems, because ultimately we kind of feel as though, you know, we can't catch a break or reset or like have a fresh start, right? It's sort of like this built-in mindset that we have to wait for the beginning of a new week or the beginning of a new year or just something similar to that in order for us to kind of get a break or reset or have that fresh start. I think one thing that, you know, can really contribute to resilience and just our overall stress management is the knowledge that we can choose any moment, even if it's seemingly at a random time of the day, to reset. I like to kind of have a reset ritual that I can use to help me kind of pause and take a moment and shift my mindset. You know, something like, you know, stopping, standing or sitting still, rolling my shoulders back, taking a deep breath, and just reminding myself of something even as simple as, I've got this. Or another favorite question of mine is just asking myself in that moment, what can I do to set myself up for success in this situation? This question can really help us kind of break out of that box of thinking a situation should be a certain way, and therefore I'm trying to force my solution and my situation to work together. And instead, it allows me to work with my situation more effectively. So ultimately,
you know, Rachel, I just want to jump in here, because one of the things that I think is so powerful about this reset ritual is we're taking an effective step, as opposed to when you're talking about we think we need to wait for a weekend or a holiday or a vacation or whatever those things are for everything to reset. It's a very magical thinking, isn't it? It's like, oh, it's finally Friday and everything will be great and everything will be fine. And yeah, we think all of that aggravation is going to magically disappear. And that's what gives us the Sunday scaries, because we know it didn't and we didn't do anything effective. So this reset ritual that you're going to continue to tell us how to do allows us to take our power back around it, doesn't it?
You're completely right about that, and I think that's a perfect example of this, right? And you know, like you said, right, the reset ritual can kind of be whatever we want it to be, but really, just as you described, the idea is to take a moment and intentionally make a choice to approach the next moment differently. Like you said, to do something different rather than just hoping it'll go away. Right. And this is just really one way that we can kind of shift from, you know, operating from that kind of emotional reactions part of our brain where we're just kind of trying to get away from the problem, where, you know, we're feeling overwhelmed and frustrated by the day or the situation, and then back into our thinking brain, you know, which ultimately can just give us that more confidence, control, clarity, and peace, because we're actually approaching things differently.
Well, this really ties into what we were sharing in our Theology of the Body reflection about the virtue of patience. You know, that patience isn't just sort of waiting and hoping, you know, that something's going to happen somehow. It's really that virtue of stepping back and giving ourselves the space to reflect on what's happened so far, you know, what's the effect that our efforts have made, and what do we need to do moving forward now?
But I love the fact that this reset ritual allows us to move into that thinking brain. It doesn't mean that as soon as we roll our shoulders back and take that deep breath or whatever our ritual is, everything's going to magically be the answer. But it allows us to go into a place where we're in our thinking brain and we're connecting with the Holy Spirit, and then we can really begin to change things. I love this idea. Thank you so much, Rachel Isaac.
Rachel, thank you so much for being with us today. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel's good work, you can learn more about it at CatholicCounselors.com. Check out the St. Sebastian Program for Performance Excellence to learn more about our success and performance coaching practice at CatholicCounselors.com. And with that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about our show titled "I'm So Frustrated." If you're feeling fed up with a particular situation, problem, or person that you've been dealing with, we want to help you take some steps, grace-filled steps, to respond to those challenges the way Rachel was just talking about. You know, that let's take this time to reset and reflect on where to go now and figure out what to do next so that we can be more effective, cooperating with God's grace, and finding those solutions that have been eluding us to this point. 877-573-7825. Once again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls on the other side of the break. Stick around.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
I really love St. Augustine because I think he is a good example for all of us that no matter how stubborn, no matter how intelligent we may be, you know, thinking we're so smart and we don't have to worry about what God says. But a lot of people see themselves as gods, making their own decisions and thinking they're fine and thinking that they can pick and choose through Catholicism and Christianity in general. St. Augustine is a reminder to us that anyone, even one with a hardened heart, can have a huge change. Whether it's late in life, whatever. God is always trying to give good things to us. Ah, but our hands are too full to receive them. Think about that. We fill our hands with the things that we think matter. St. Augustine, pray for us.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The Holy Eucharist is fulfillment for the present day and a taste of heavenly glory. The Catholic Catechism quotes an ancient prayer of the Church, which says in part, "O sacred banquet in which Christ is received as food, the memory of the Passion is renewed, the soul is filled with grace, and a pledge of the life to come is given to us." Jesus pointed this fact out to his apostles at the Last Supper, indicating the fulfillment of his passion, death, and resurrection in the kingdom of God. "I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Though we know Christ's real presence is in our midst now, that presence is veiled. So we wait and pray for the day when our Savior comes again and we will see our God as He is. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. No matter how old our kids are, they'll always want our love. They'll always crave our approval, a word of encouragement, any sign that lets them know that we think they're showing some strength, doing something right, or at least trying to pursue something worthwhile. No matter how damaged a relationship, every adult child wants to know that their parents are proud of them for something. We need to remember this. It's critical that parents of adult kids look for the good intentions behind the things our adult kids are doing and try to express our pride in the efforts they're making to pursue those good things. That can be hard to do, especially if we disapprove of the way they're pursuing those intentions, but learning how to do this is the first step in being mentors to our adult children.
To learn more, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, I'm So Frustrated, as we talk about those people and problems that just get under your skin that you're not quite sure what to do with but are tired of dealing with. Let us help you find grace-filled solutions to those challenging people and problems that you have to face every day. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Linda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hi, Linda. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Good morning. First, I wanted to say that listening to Rachel was very helpful. She had some really good points, and then what you were saying about patience and being active and also patient with your patients, I suppose, too, but making it something that you can do with your patients, not just try to accept it. My situation is my husband passed away in August, and of course I'm struggling through grief and my loss, but I'm trying to work through some of the frustration that I have when I have my good moments and what I can do to find meaning and make it something that I can do with what I'm going through, and maybe with helping others. I just looking for a purpose and working through that frustration of grief.
Of course. And again, we're very sorry for your loss. I can't imagine how painful that is for you. But I want to ask, there are lots of different challenges that come along with grief. Is there something in particular that you're struggling with that we could help you with? Or did you want me to just kind of speak generally to the idea of resolving grief and getting through this difficult time?
I think just the general idea of finding the meaning and purpose that I can find with adjusting through the grief and going beyond that, because it's frustrating thinking there has to be some good that comes out of this, some good reason. So I'm just looking for that path to find that. Any suggestions you have would be helpful.
Yeah, and let me add, in terms of that, I mean, do you feel that the things you were doing before your husband passed, that those things are somehow less meaningful now, or you know, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, you know, is it a matter of continuing to do those things, or have those things kind of lost their flavor, or are you feeling the need to find new things?
Pretty
I just want to understand.
Pretty much everything has kind of lost its flavor, like you said, and
things that were meaningful before
are not as meaningful now.
And I think that's part of the experience, Linda, and you kind of have to, you know, talking about patience, you're going to have to be patient with that, giving yourself the time. You lost your husband in August. That's such a short time
ago.
That's
a second ago. And I have to say that our Western world is horrible with loss and grief. And people, like, will look at their watch, and if you have not, like, gotten yourself together and acted normal and gotten over it in, like, 3 to 6 months, they start criticizing you. But we as Catholics, grief, we understand it in a very different way, but especially the loss of our spouse, who we were one with. The two became one flesh. So literally, if somebody came and took a machete and cut you in half, and you were expected to have one half of you just walk around by itself and act like everything's great and meaningful and wonderful and enjoy yourself, nobody would expect that from you. But when we lose our spouse, people act like you should because it makes them uncomfortable, and we want to go back to having some sense of normalcy and some sense of purpose, as you were saying. But I want you to not minimize the fact that it is very similar to losing an entire half of yourself, and give yourself time to realize that this is going to take time to get through.
So I think there are three things that I want to encourage you to do as you're working through this process of grief. And the first one is, it kind of speaks to this whole idea of how everything has lost its flavor. You know, when we go through something that causes us to feel that way, there's a tendency to let certain things go. And that can be okay. I mean, you know, but what I guess I'd like you to do is to hold on to as many of the routines and rituals as you had. hold on to as many even of the traditions as you had, even though they seem flavorless right now, even though they might seem pointless right now.
They might even seem painful. You know, what am I? Why am I bothering to make my cup of coffee when I can't make his cup of coffee every morning? Why am I bothering to put up the Christmas tree we had for all these years when he's not here to enjoy it? He is here in the communion of saints, and you can connect with that, but it also reminds you of who you are, who you were together.
And the more you're able to maintain those routines and rituals, the more you're, even though they don't feel very rewarding or very pleasant or can sometimes even be upsetting, the more you cultivate that sense of resilience, because you can at least hold on to some sense of stability. You know, that you can deal with the loss that you have instead of compounding that loss by losing all the other things too. So even though it seems flavorless or pointless or unrewarding or even upsetting,
painful,
try your best to maintain your routines, maintain the traditions, maintain the rituals that you had before, to help give you kind of a firm base to work off of, right? The second thing I want to let you know, and this is something that people don't understand, grief is not the process of letting go. It's the process of finding healthy ways to stay connected to that person that we've lost. When you talk to somebody, and I really don't love the phrase, but there's no other way to put it. When you talk to somebody who's successfully grieved, quote unquote, they don't talk about having forgotten that person or left them behind. They talk about the ways that they bring that person with them, you know, and they'll share the little tokens of that they have of that person, or they share the lessons that they learned from that person.
They most importantly find ways to honor and celebrate the emotional and spiritual gifts that that person brought into their lives. So when you think about your husband, think about what were his charisms, the things that God really brought out in his life that touched your life and the life of other people. Was it joy? Was it efficiency? Was it, you know, a sense of companion? Whatever those things were,
those qualities and virtues
that you said, this is who my husband was in this life. Lean into those things so that you can continue to spread that to the world in his honor. So if he was a generous man, think of ways you can be generous. If he was a humorous man, look for jokes on the internet every day to cheer yourself up and connect with him and possibly share with those you love. If he was a prayerful person, connect more through prayer to God and to him in the communion of saints. Whatever those virtues, those strengths were, celebrate those and bring them more into your life.
Which actually anticipates the third point I was going to make, which is about prayer. And there are two parts to this one. The first one is, I want you to be honest with God about how you're feeling. If you're feeling angry, go ahead and yell at God. If you're feeling sad, you know, cry in his arms. To be honest about what your experience is with God. But then at the end of that, pray, Lord, you know, help me to respond to this in a way that actually glorifies you and helps me be my best self too. You know, help me to understand how you want me to respond to this anger I'm feeling right now, or this purposelessness I'm feeling right now, or this sadness. Help me to respond to this in a way that will glorify you and help me be my best self. And I just want you to reflect on that and pray that every day so that God can lead you through this. But I also want you to talk to your husband, because, you know, those who are asleep in Christ are more alive in some ways than we are. And I want you to ask for his intercession, and I want you to talk to him, and I want you to feel good about that, knowing that you can do that. Don't feel guilty or strange about it.
Not at all. It's the same way that, you know, when we're going through the day, we can ask the Blessed Mother to help us, ask St. Anthony to help us with something, talk to the saints about them, talk to Jesus and the Holy Trinity all day long. We're encouraged to do that. That's the right way to live. And we can ask the intercession and help and companionship of all of those in the heavens that are there praying for us in the communion of saints, caring for us and loving us, but also loving us with eyes that are past the veil. They can see God, and they can share that grace by praying for us and being close to us.
You know, especially in those situations where you have to handle something that he used to handle, or something that he was particularly good at, you know, asking for his intercession that God would guide you through that situation and help you respond to it the way he would have. You know, those are all ways to stay connected and maintain that healthy connection with your husband. I hope these three suggestions will at least give you some sense of how to move forward. If you want more support, if you're looking for, you know, someone to kind of walk through this with you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I do think the suggestions we've made here will at least get you started and help give you some focus. But please be patient with yourself. You know, like Lisa was saying in her opening comments here, you know, the world is sort of looking at its watch saying, okay, Linda, why aren't you past this already? Give yourself the time that you need, whatever time it takes, the time that you need to walk this process of finding healthy ways to stay connected with your husband. That's what it really means to grieve.
And to grow closer to God, because, you know, that's where your husband is, with God, and he can't wait to know that you're going to be together forever in that way. So saying to your husband even, help me to feel the grace of God in all of this. Please keep praying for me so that I can grow closer to God through all this.
So keep up the rituals, number one. Find healthy ways to stay connected with your husband. That's what it means to, quote-unquote, successfully grieve. And thirdly, make sure that in your prayer life that you are asking God to teach you how to respond to all the different feelings that you're having and asking for your husband's intercession to stay connected with him. Linda, thank you so much for the call. And again, if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And we're talking to you today, listeners, at 877-573-7825 about frustration. Both frustration with problems, with situations, with particular people that are hard to manage. If you feel like the efforts you've been expending are just not bearing the fruit that you wish they were, and you're not quite sure what to do, and you're tired of feeling frustrated about it, let us help you find grace-filled ways to respond to those challenges. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9.
Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up.
And I chose this scripture today because, you know, when we're feeling frustrated about something, one of the things that causes that frustration is not knowing what to do that will resolve the problem. And our focus is, how can I solve this? How can I fix this? How can I make this right? And sometimes that answer isn't all that obvious, and we just get more frustrated the more we ask ourselves that question. But if we do what St. Paul is talking about here in this verse from Galatians and focus on, how could I work for the good of this situation? How could I work to be my best self in this situation? How could I challenge the people around me to be their best selves in the face of this situation? That doesn't always point me to the ultimate solution, but it does point me to the next step. Because as I prayerfully reflect on what it would mean for me to be my best self in the face of this challenging situation or person, or what would it mean for me to challenge the people around me to be more of their best selves in the face of this challenging situation, it starts to give me thoughts about what God is calling me to in the presence of this problem. And as I walk that road, asking that question prayerfully, leaning into doing good and not growing weary of doing good, as St. Paul says, that is what leads me to be able to reap the benefits of my efforts and find the solution that God is leading me toward. Wondering how that applies in your situation? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions about being frustrated and what you can do to get past it when we come back after the break.
Ave Maria Radio's Good News Cruise is more popular than ever. Every year, couples testify how their marriages are revitalized and transformed. The 2026 cruise is already three quarters full, so if you want to join, now is the time. Special guests include musicians Andrea Bocelli, Matt Maher, Sarah Kroger, and John Ignatie, as well as hosts from Ave Maria Radio. Fun, romance, devotion. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the travel tab to find out more.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I want you to have such confidence in the Lord that you'll find such hope and see the beauty of the Lord, the majesty of God. What did our Lord say, huh? If your sins are as scarlet, oh, what? What's going to happen? They shall be made white as snow.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
We're so glad to be with you today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, I'm So Frustrated, as we talk about those challenges that are frustrating us in our life and relationships. By the way, you know, one of the things that can be really frustrating is family life and parenting. And if you're looking for support and feeling less frustrated as a faithful Catholic parent and want to feel more effective in your role, we really encourage you to download and become a member of the Catholic Home Community. That's H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. Every day on Catholic Home, Lisa and I are there with our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches giving support to families just like you in overcoming those challenges. You can ask whatever questions you like and get ongoing feedback, coaching support, plus all the resources you need to create a more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life. Check it out. Become a member of the Catholic HOM community today and discover how you can start building your Catholic household on mission. With that, we're taking your calls about those challenges that you're feeling frustrated about in your life and relationships. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Greg, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Greg. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today, sir?
Yes, my wife left me about a year ago, and the divorce is just about ready to be finalized. I thought I had forgiven her, but I don't think I have yet. So I'm just kind of frustrated with that forgiveness process. So that,
well, so tell me so what it means. First of all, I'm sorry that you're going through this. That's awful. But when you say you wonder if you've forgiven her, like, what would it mean to you to have forgiven her? How would you know?
I guess if I could feel more at peace with being able to not be thinking about it constantly, and just to be able to, I feel like I'm stuck in a what's next mode. I just can't get out of that what's next. And I feel like if maybe it's related to not having forgiven her.
Well, you know, I guess I'm wondering if that's the case, because I think that, you know, you're still going through the divorce, right? You know, there's really very much a sense of what's next, because, you know, as the attorneys work everything out and you and your wife try to, you know, divide up the assets and deal with custody and all the things, there's a lot of what nexts that you're having to handle and a lot of frustrations that come with that. And you know, St. John Chrysostom talks about, you know, anger, and I know that you're not specifically saying that you're angry, but I would be surprised if you weren't. And he talks about, you know, how when we have cause to be angry, but we're not angry, that's actually a sin, because it actually permits people to do unjust things, or prevents us from responding to injustices in ways that would be good. And so there's a sense in which some of the anger and the frustration and the pain is actually, I mean, not desirable, but good, because it motivates you to identify the problems and respond to them. And that's not necessarily a spirit of unforgiveness. I'll talk more about what forgiveness really is in just a second.
But when we talk about what's, you know, what you can do about it, we're not talking about like going back and rehashing these things with your wife. We're talking about what you can do to move on, to make sure that you're living the kind of life that you're proud of, and that you're making God feel like you're trying to do your best in. But I also, Greg, want you to understand that while you're asking for ways to forgive her, this goes back to what we've been discussing for a lot of the show. You're also grieving the entire life you expected to have. So you've gone through this whole process for a year, and you've been so caught up in the process, you haven't had a chance to really grieve the fact that the whole vision of your future that you had has been taken from you. So you won't really feel a sense of completely forgiving her or a sense of rightness inside yourself till you've had a chance to grieve this and come up with a different vision of what your future is going to be in the grace of God.
So to that end, there are two things I want to share with you. The first thing, let's talk about what forgiveness is. And we like to appeal to St. Augustine's definition of forgiveness, which was surrendering our natural desire for revenge. Right? At the point where we give up hurting, wanting to hurt someone, or wanting them to hurt for having hurt us, we've forgiven them. And you know what? That's a big challenge sometimes, especially when you're going through an ongoing thing like divorce. And you see this person that was supposed to love you and build a life with you is doing things that hurt you on a regular basis. You know, it's hard to not want to hurt them or for them to hurt for having hurt us. So that's how you know whether you've forgiven somebody or not. Not whether you're reconciled with them, not whether you feel completely peaceful about it. In fact, the Catechism says it's not within our power to forget or not feel an offense. But it goes on to say that through prayer and through intercession, the Holy Spirit can transform those feelings into compassion and to purpose. So I want you to kind of focus on that. First of all, you know, forgiveness doesn't mean feeling okay about everything or letting it all go or saying it's fine, because none of this is fine. It's all awful, you know, but it means getting to the place where I'm going to go through this. I'm going to handle what I have to handle, but I'm going to try my best not to just hurt her for having hurt me or want her to hurt for having hurt me. I'm going to work for what's just. I'm going to work for what's right. I'm going to advocate for myself. And if she gets frustrated about that, well, okay. But that's not me intentionally trying to hurt her. That's just me advocating for my needs in this situation. Secondly, going back to what Lisa was talking about, I really want you to be praying through this, like we were talking about with our previous caller who lost her husband. How do you want me to respond to this? In a way that will help me be my best self, in a way that will help me challenge the people around me to be their best selves. That's going to mean different things on different days as you go through this process. But as you're trying to figure out what is the plan for your life, you know, as Lisa was pointing out, you know, that has blown up. You know, you had one vision for how things were supposed to be, and now that vision has been taken away. God still has a plan for you, but how do you find what that is? Well, by prayerfully saying, okay, how do I respond to the thing in front of me right now in a way that would glorify you, help me be my best self, and challenge the people around me to be their best selves too? And if I reflect on those three things prayerfully every day, and I respond to the challenges in front of me every day, that might not give me a clear idea of what the ultimate solution to my problem is, but it starts walking me in that direction because I'm cooperating with grace and I'm holding on to God's hand as I'm going through this. And he's going to lead me step by step to where he wants me to be as long as I'm as well. Because what are we really doing when we pray that prayer of, Lord, help me respond to this in a way that glorifies you, helps me be my best self, or challenges the people around me to be their best self? Well, we're doing what St. Paul in our scripture of the day says, we're not growing weary of doing good so that in due season we will reap if we don't give up. And when I say that prayer, I mean, I'm angry at my wife today. Help me respond to that anger in a way that'll glorify you. Help me be my best self and challenge her to be her best self. I'm frustrated about this situation I have to handle right now. Help me respond to that particular situation in a way that will glorify you. Help me be my best self and challenge the people involved to be their best selves too. You know, that the answer to that is going to be different in every situation, but at all times you are really asking God to give you the grace to respond to this in a way that is virtuous and is solution-focused and is grace-filled. And you would keep walking that road. And Greg, you know, the other thing I will share with you we're running out of time here, so as a last comment, you or anybody else who's going through a difficult loss or transition, part of that process can really be helpful to step back and work with somebody, a faithful mentor, a pastoral counselor, somebody who can really walk through this with you and help you figure out what lessons to take moving forward, what strengths you have, what your future should be, how you can cooperate with God's grace to build that future. So by all means, run with the suggestions that Lisa and I have made here on the call. But if there's more we can do to support you and you feel like you'd like that support, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us help you really rebuild your life and know how to move forward in a graceful and confident way. And if you'd like to learn more about our services, you can check us out at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for all of you listeners as well. If you are frustrated with a particular challenge you are experiencing in your life or relationships, and you're looking for faithful ways to respond to those challenges, we'd love for you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us walk with you to find those grace-filled ways to transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. And get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.